Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Now, for many of us in South Africa, these are trying times. And I think if you talk about workers in South Africa, it's more difficult for them in terms of the many issues that they're facing when you look at this COVID pandemic. So as many workers are going to be returning to work this week, their safety has become a worrying factor for some labor federations. South African Federation of Trade Unions, SAFTU, fear that more workers will be exposed to COVID-19 as the country is in the midst of a second wave of the pandemic. And Zwelinzi Mavavi, the General Secretary for the South African Federation of Trade Unions, joins you now for this conversation. Babu Vavi, good morning. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning, Mongile, and good morning to everybody that is listening to your show this morning.
Last year, 6 million South Africans lost their jobs as a result of the impact of the pandemic. Now, as we embark on this new year and the country faces a second wave, I mean, are you optimistic that some lessons have been learned in the first wave? Or rather, let me put it this way. Are you optimistic that some lessons learned in the first wave will be useful now in the second wave?
It should be. It should be very useful. But you will remember, Abongile, and everybody has been quite open about this point, that we should have been better off in knowledge, in behavior, and in every respect, in preparing. And we should have been better in many areas to prepare for the second wave, because we know from all other countries in the world that there will be a second wave. And it looks like we were not realistic. We were somehow fatigued, and the government was fatigued itself. Government didn't prepare for the second wave effectively. In fact, we think that the government didn't prepare even for the first wave. Our people misbehaved, Abongile. We all know that. And we dropped our guards. We began to party. We allowed our young ones to go out and party. And we were not compliant with the regulations. We had our masks in our pockets. We were not sanitizing. We forgot about the social distance. We went into the taxis. We went to our workplaces as if we have defeated the virus. And then we are now currently being punished severely by all of that government, which had pushed us into a very, very, very hard lockdown, June, July, and in order to prepare for what they knew was inevitable, was somehow not prepared in every respect. First respect, we were told that hospitals will be ready and for the new loads, and they are not ready. We know that people are in the floors as we speak in many hospitals. People are dying in the reception of many hospitals. People are dying in their homes whilst waiting for ambulances. And we didn't have infrastructure. We didn't employ more nurses and doctors. And we were naive to think that the neglect of 26 years of democracy can be resolved in just a few months of a huge push now to get us ready for the first and the second phase of this coronavirus.
But Mufavi, I want to quickly get to your propositions, but I just want to bring in the listeners in the conversation. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the voice of Zwelinzi Mavavi, General Secretary at South African Federation Trade Unions, where they talk about the fact that as many workers are returning to work, they have some safety concerns, and that need to be looked at. And so that's the conversation. Now, what is your say, having listened to some of his points? Would love to hear from you. But Mufavi, as a union, you are calling on government then for an expanded economic relief plan to include a basic income grant and for 4 billion rands to be released to the taxi industry. Is that the solution? And in our current economic climate, I mean, how do you propose government meet those demands?
Well, let's go to the first stimulus package. Government claimed that there will be 500 billion rand released, which would have included the $4.3 billion to be loaned from the IMF. We have done our calculations, and we have come to the conclusion that the government pulled wool on the citizens of this country. There was no 500 billion rand stimulus package, Abongile. The government embarked on an even more aggressive austerity measures, meaning that they cut expenditure in many frontline delivery areas of the budget, from cutting municipal services, cutting the rapid transport systems, many local governments suspending them, and cutting and squeezing every department in order to produce a 500 billion. A stimulus, Abongi, is new money that you put on the table in times of crisis such as the one that we are facing. There was no new money. This was all rearranged internal budgeting. This was all at the expense of other areas of service delivery. And the economists that we work with are saying that actually there was only 50 billion rands new money, not 500. There was 50 billion rands new money. But then we know how pathetic and disorganized, corrupt government became in relation to that. We've heard and got ashamed by the stories of the of how the hyenas angled to loot that money from the provision of the PPEs to everything that they could find ways of accumulating those resources. And that's why everywhere you drive, there are people who are driving Porsches and Lamborghinis, and because they became instant multimillionaires as a result of that. So the main beneficiaries of that 500 even was not the nurses and the doctors who continue to die, but the political hyenas with their political connections. That's the first point. The second point is that the point that I want to emphasize more is that government didn't put a real relief on the table in order to cushion the poor working class, the precarious jobs, the people who are in temporal, casualized, subcontracted work arrangement, who are by nature very vulnerable because they do not belong to big unions, big workplaces where they can have solidarity with one another. So those workers were left in their own devices, and it is they who suffered most of the job losses. The 350 rand that was put on the table as an emergency relief is tokenist, is insulting, basically taking the dignity of the unemployed away, as we have seen, how people get compromise themselves even from further infections as they stand pushing each other to get into the queue as they slept outside the post offices or arrive at 4 o'clock to get into the long queue. That's how humiliating the situation of unemployment is to every worker. That's the first point. They add on 200 rands to our pensions, to our child support grants and to our disability grants was just too tokenist to make any real difference. So we didn't manage to use that stimulus package to push the economy wheels forward and to get the demand increasing such that even though there is a lockdown, but we could be saved by a new wave of people spending money. Yeah. We didn't get that because the resources that were made available were just too little at the end when it came to each individual person. And that's why we are pushing now that government must expand that social and economic relief.
Yeah.
And that's why we're calling for the introduction of the basic income grant now. And that's why we're saying that there can never be an opportune time for government to give up on its conservative fiscal and monetary policy stance that have simply deepened our economic woes, opened more inequalities in society, sent more millions of workers into unemployment, and increased the levels of poverty to the frightening levels wherein, as we speak, we are risking a social implosion because of people not coping with corona on one hand, but also not coping with the just sheer poverty on the other hand. And so we think that the risk of doing nothing and just continue lockdown and continue pushing workers in unemployment is far more greater than to take a calculated risk, give up on some of these IMF-inspired World Bank rating agencies-inspired fiscal monetary policy where we see a crisis because we are so stuck to a formula that says we should have only about 26-28% of corporate taxes, whereas during the apartheid, we had up to 54% at some points of corporate taxes. We're refusing to introduce a wealth tax and solidarity tax, and where we are, we just slaves of what economists on the left called neoliberalism and program.
I do apologize for breaking you, but I have already run out of time, but I have to ask this one last question. I mean, if you think back and talking about workers, it was on alert level 4 when all businesses were permitted to operate, or rather were allowed to operate. They had to appoint a compliance officer to oversee compliance with COVID-19 in the workplace. There was they had to develop and implement a COVID-19 workplace plan. Now, believing that this is still in place, and you can argue that it's not if it's not, what more would you like to be implemented in business before your workers return to work this year?
Public transport system that is better. Bring back the trains in Gauteng and make sure that the taxis load only 70% of the passengers instead of the current 100%. Enforce the lockdown regulations now that says every taxi owner and driver have an obligation, firstly, of wearing a mask themselves, and secondly, of ensuring that everybody getting into their taxis have a mask, and that there is a sanitizer, and that we can keep that little social distance, even though 70% in the combis is rather hard to avoid infection, and secondly, open those windows. But when you arrive at work, we argue that workers must now, returning from the Eastern Cape and back to Johannesburg and KwaZulu-Natal back to Johannesburg, must insist on rapid testing. They must be tested immediately so that they do not bring that new variant before our eyes, such that Gauteng then becomes the biggest risk and the big cities again becomes the biggest risk of further circulation of the virus at rapid levels that we cannot afford to contain, and make sure that those regulations at level 4 are packed. People have an officer, people have sanitizers, people rearrange the workplace such that there's social distancing, and people are regularly informed of the risk that they are facing, and people are not allowed to not wear masks, and that the obligation goes both to the worker but also to the employer in ensuring that no one goes to the workplace without a mask and without them being sanitized. But more importantly, let's emphasize without them being tested.
I hear you. Babu Vavi, thank you so very much for joining us in conversation. That is Ubabu Zwelinzima Vavi, General Secretary at SAFTU.